Oh my God, my ears. What is up, everybody? It is your favorite white boy, Chris Scavoli, and you're listening to The Scavoli Show. And this is the most important show of the day. It's serving up Scavoli's way. Yeah. Yeah, I said that. I did that. And welcome to The Scavoli Show, guys. We have a very important co-host with me today. He's a very special guy. He's my commander. You know, I salute him in every day and all the time, you know, my commander. We have Cloning Around. You might know him as Cloning Around on Instagram. He does a lot of things with Captain Rex. We love Captain Rex. He's our captain. He's my commander, like I just said. You know, he's a good guy. And he's played by Josh. Josh, you there?
Hey, yeah. Thanks for having me on, man.
You're welcome, man. You hurt my ears in the beginning. Like, what the fuck, man?
Sorry about that. Just getting it all worked out on my phone.
That's all right, because I was like, oh my God, this kid's attacked. He got attacked. I was like, man down, someone attacked Captain Rex, and we do not know how to get him back. We do not. But thank God you're here. I'm so happy to have you on. I might be stuttering today because I just woke up from a nice nap, you know, and I'm like not ready for this, you know?
Don't worry about it. My first time. Probably gonna be worse anyway.
But I hope you're good. How are you doing in Corona season? I know you're off at college. How is that for you?
All doing good. Still have a couple in-person classes, which is nice, but, you know, staying afloat.
That's good.
Doing what we can.
Yeah, I know. We're not dying, so that's a good thing. We're still alive, you know? But are you ready to get right into it, Josh?
Yeah, sure, of course.
Oh, yeah, that's what I like. The fucking attitude, Josh. I love it, man. Love it. Just gets me, like, ready to, like, throw my hair back and start dancing, you know? Throw my long, nice, blonde, luscious hair back, you know? So my first question is to you, Josh. What made you become a cast player for Captain Rex? Because you could have picked anybody. You could have picked me, because I know how luscious my blonde hair is, you know, man. So why did you pick Captain Rex?
Yeah. So when I was a kid, I used to watch the Clone Wars with my dad every once in a while. And, of course, you know, Captain Rex was like the number one clone back in the day. Still is. So I just remembered that. And then eventually I got to the age where I was, you know, able to start accruing money and look at stuff to do. And I actually went to an event where my local 501st garrison was. I'm a member of the 501st. It's a charitable organization. And they were there and I was like, you know, that's something I want to do. But then, you know, you have to find a thing of armor to do because it's all full armored mask on and everything. So I decided to do Captain Rex. I was kind of inspired by the Rex and Around show. You know, some great people there. Especially
shout out to you guys. We like you guys.
Yeah.
Come on the show. Join my white ass, please. Join me.
Yeah. Amazing, amazing people. And so I was kind of just like, you know, I kind of want to do Rex. And so I just started doing a little bit of research, looking around for vendors and reaching out to people who've done the kit before. And just started doing it. So.
Oh, that's awesome, man. So you do not make your own Captain Rex?
So the kit was provided by Imperial Surplus. They're on Instagram. Okay. They have a website. It basically all comes. So the armor is all vacuformed ABS plastic.
Oh,
and
don't even know what that stands for.
So basically imagine a thing of plastic that's made pretty hot and then it gets vacuumed over a clay buck. So then it takes that form. So it takes a form of like the armor and then you have to trim it, cut it, put it all together, assemble and paint it. So I basically did all of that. So it came as a raw kit. Helmet is resin. So it's a resin cast. So I had to cut that out, cut it up, trim it. And so the paint was also done by me. So kits provided by Imperial Surplus and I did the work making it look how it is.
That's awesome, man.
There's a bunch of other Rex people, and every single one has, like, the same base geometry, but the paint and everything else looks so different. And that's how you're able to tell all the Rexes apart, is everyone takes different artistic liberties, which I think is really cool.
That's awesome. Like, I would get confused. Like, you're Captain Rex, but that one's Captain Rex, but they have a number two on them. Oh, my God, you're Captain Rex number two. It's like thing one and thing two, you know?
Yeah.
But that's awesome, man. I'm so happy that you got to be Captain Rex, and you kill it with Captain Rex. Like, I love your outfit and performance with Captain Rex. Like, I didn't even, I could, if I looked at you, I could not tell you're under Captain Rex. Like,
oh, thanks. That means a lot.
You do not like look that persona. You know what I mean? Not in a bad way. I'm not trying to diss you.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
you know what I yeah. mean. But I like how you play Captain Rex. I've seen a lot of pictures you did with Commander Pop-Tart. Love Pop-Tarts.
Yep. Yep.
And she just kills it like you kill it. So I'm very happy that you decided to do Captain Rex for all of us, because we need him in our lives, you know?
Well, I'm just happy to be able to join the amazing community and be able to do some fun Rex stuff and, of course, some charity work on the side as well. So I'm just happy to be here.
Oh, that's so nice. Josh is such a nice guy. Josh, you get a cookie, man. I'll give you a cookie. I got you. Ooh. I got you.
Okay. Sounds good.
I'll send it to you. I'll throw it.
All right. Sounds good. How good's your arm?
What happened?
I said, how good's your arm?
Oh, don't worry. It's like Eli Manning throwing interceptions all day long. That's how good it is.
All right. Sounds like a plan. I'll expect it within the next 2 minutes.
Probably 2 years. But Josh, I was going to ask you also, so you do charity. So what kind of charity do you do with your Captain Rex outfit?
So I'm a part of the 501st Legion. It's a charitable organization whose base goal is to just bring the joy of Star Wars to people who need it. So we're brought to either hospitals or just base charity events and sometimes larger things with Lucasfilm. But basically the goal is for people to have screen accurate Star Wars costumes and go out and bring some smiles into the world.
Now, you're not with Lucasfilm, right? You're in your own?
The 501st base organization spread like across the world, and I'm part of my local garrison. And they do some work with Lucasfilm, but it's a fan costuming organization, at least how I understand it.
Oh, okay. So you're not part of them unless you're asked to be part of Lucasfilm.
Yeah, so the Lucasfilm can call in the 501st for, so like in The Mandalorian.
They did them with the Stormtroopers.
Yeah, so those they called in the local garrison some calls, and they got a bunch of Stormtroopers to come through, and those were all 501st members. So.
All right, that's awesome. I'm glad that you do that, Josh. Good for you, man. I wish I could do it. I'll be too hot. I might suffocate under all that armor. You might see me died on the beach where you took the picture. Yeah,
you do lose a couple pounds. So that's a nice little trade-off.
It is, because you're – how hot is it under there? One to ten, how hot is it under there? On a hot day.
Yeah, it can get pretty dang hot. I think my first troop was in 100 degrees. I spent about 2 hours in the kit. Awesome. We do have fans. You can get fans in the helmets, so that helps, but – it is definitely just a lot of sweating.
Yeah, you probably lose like 25 pounds just standing there. But that's good. You lose weight, you eat good, and you're charity. Look, Josh, can you be my father, Josh? Thank you, Josh.
I don't think I'm old enough for that.
How old are you, Josh?
I'm 18.
Oh, okay. I'm older by three. I'm 21.
Nice.
I know. I'm getting old. You know, I'm just getting old. But so before we cut the break, my friend Josh, what are your favorite characters from Star Wars? They can be Jedi, they can be people that just sit on the bathroom toilet from Star Wars, you know? And why? Why did you pick and why are they your favorite? Why do they connect to you so well?
Well, I'm legally obligated to say Rex.
Because I was gonna throw something from New Jersey to wherever you are if you didn't pick Rex. I was like, my God, this guy cosplays as Captain Rex, but doesn't like Captain Rex. What?
Yeah, no, I just love Rex for the reasons I've already said, but also D. Bradley Baker said that when he voices the clones, he likes to have a word to describe them, and for Rex, it's solid and just that mentality. You know, the leadership, and especially his phase two helmet. It's welded with the phase one visor in it, but it's the rest of it's phase two. And the idea of taking something and building it to fit what you want instead of just going with what's given to you, that's also something that's an admirable quality. For another character, I mean, as cliched as it is, Obi-Wan Kenobi. Gotta love him. Just an amazing character. There's so much, it's so hard to try to find reasons to justify it when it's so almost obvious. It's such a good character. He's well written. The knowledge, the wisdom, you see him grow through, you know, episode 1 to episode 4 and beyond. And this, of course, Clone Wars as well. It's just such wonderful character development and a well-done character. And we've yet to see an interpretation of him that, you know, wasn't up to snuff. It's every single time you see Obi-Wan, it's very, very well done.
It is. We love that Obi-Wan. We love his nice accent.
Yeah. And for a third, it may be the hype, but I'm going to have to say Din Djarin from The Mandalorian.
Oh, wow. No one has said that yet on the show.
It's so good. The idea of, you know, you see this person who wasn't originally a Mandalorian and then got almost adopted into this creed. And he's like trying to prove himself, not only, you know, try to keep up the name of being a Mandalorian to those he meets, but also trying to, you know, be honored within his clan.
Yeah.
And try to be good as a Mandalorian and get that title and that name. And of course, being thrown into the whole situation that he's in through season one. So,
and
I'm very excited to see the stories where that character goes. It's a very well done to start with. And I'm excited to see what happens.
And I feel like there's like the Mandalorians in Jaren. I feel like he doesn't get enough credit. You know, like he's there with Baby Yoda, but he's like, really, if you really look at the Mandalorian, who is the Mandalorian? What the Baby Yoda is the Mandalorian, you know? Like, you take Baby Yoda out, you're going to lose half of your ratings, you know?
Baby Yoda definitely did help, and it introduced a great aspect to the story, for sure.
It does. That's my baby, Josh. So just so you know, when you see the Mandalorian, you might see me. So I might, like, be in the shadows, just so you know. Like, the white...
I'll keep an eye out, for sure.
They call me the White Whisperer, you know? They call me... Because I'm looking for my child and I cannot find him. Din Djarin has him somewhere. And, you know, I just want him back because I'm going to train him, you know. But I didn't give birth. You know, I can't give birth because I'm a guy, I don't think. So my wife has given birth, just so you know.
Yeah, nice. No, yeah, just I'd say that's a good top three. The Rex, Obi-Wan, then Din.
That's good. That's a good top three. They really are. I love Captain Rex. I love Obi-Wan. And I love the Mandalorian. I really don't hate anyone in the Star Wars universe. The only big person I will hate is that wrinkly old man Palpatine. I can't stand him. Cannot stand him. He comes back like eight times in a movie. I don't know why he's still alive. He better not be back in the Mandalorian because I will shoot my TV screen or my phone screen. That's all I just got to say.
He just wants a hug, man. He just wants a hug.
I can give him a hug, but that's all he's getting. Then he's getting thrown down an elevator shaft. And then that's it. Like he did when Vader threw him. He keeps coming back. I understand he wants to come back, but I'll show him love, you know? I'll give him love.
Yeah.
I'll give him love. But Josh, we got to take a quick 2-minute break, all right? You're listening to the Scavoli Show, clowning around. Josh is here. And we'll be right back with more Star Wars questions. We're going to ask him more juicier questions. Do not worry, people. We're going to make this kid cry. He's 18, so we can make him cry. He's illegal to cry. So we're going to make this kid cry. Josh, you stay put. And you listen to The Scavoli Show. And we'll be right back after this brief message from your local Chris Scavoli. What is up, everybody? You are listening to the second half of the most important show of the day, the Scavoli Show. And I am back with my favorite co-host, cloning around. Josh, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you. We just have a little noise, but, you know, it's the internet. So we just got to live with it, you know?
Well,
so
we'll make the best of it.
Yeah, we will. And if not, I'll just punch you in the throat when I see you in person.
Awesome. Sounds good. Sounds like a fair trade.
So you told us in the first half of the show your favorite character in Star Wars was Captain Rex. So what is your favorite Captain Rex moment or scene in the Clone Wars or Rebels?
Well, I'd have to say in season 7 when Ahsoka and Rex are looking over the hangar bay of the Venator, and you know, Rex has that whole speech about how the clones are willing to die and take him and Ahsoka down with them. And just that moment when Ahsoka like lifts off his helmet and he can't even hold eye contact with her. It's such a humanizing moment of Rex. And you see so much in that little scene. It's just fantastic.
Yeah, that's I think I cried a little inside, you know.
Yeah.
Because he never cries, so when you see him cry for the first time, it's just like, oh shit! Like,
yeah,
he means it.
I can't watch that arc, except I'd have to mentally prepared to watch that whole arc, or else I can't do it.
No, that is the Caesar Mandalore is one of the best arcs in Star Wars history. So yep. It's powerful, and I just love the Caesar Mandalore arc so much. It's I think has to be one of my favorite arcs.
Yeah, it's oof, very, very well done and like top rated according to IMDb. So that's kind
of yeah, like we should get an Emmy for this. You know, we should get an Emmy for Clone Wars. Just so y'all know, it's number one and we deserve an Emmy. Like the Mandalorian got like 16 of them, so why can't we just get a little one, you know? Just a little one. So my next question to you, Josh, is what is your top three favorite Star Wars movies or shows? You could say like the Clone Wars can be in it, you know? So, and why?
I think I'll stick with movies because if I did shows, I'd like have to say Clone Wars and Mandalorian. So I want to talk about some new things. So first has to be Empire Strikes Back. Movie. I was lucky enough to see a live orchestra performance of it.
Oh wow.
And that just it made it even better. Just passing the storyline from A New Hope and introducing new characters and not really backtracking. Like it forged ahead and made an amazing new story and like set the standard for sequels in cinema. Just completely love it. I love Yoda. Introducing Yoda is so well done in that movie. Especially Mark Hamill, like the ability that he had to do to be able to act alongside a puppet that he couldn't hear speak on set and have it just turn out that good is astounding.
It is.
So gotta love Empire. And then, second to that, I gotta say A New Hope. Those are like right next to each other in tops for me, but just all the information that they were able to present in that movie, they were able to bring so many amazing planets and characters to create this franchise we know now. And to be able to do that in just one movie is insane. Like, you look at, you rewatch the movie, and everything in it is just iconic. I mean, even the side characters, each of them have, like, now well-developed stories, and it's insane to see kind of the starting point of where everything is. So, I just love it. Love that movie.
I also think, too, like, the New Hope we get first, you know, before anything else. So when you play the New Hope, it's like, who the hell are these characters? Like, we don't know anything about their backstories, but we're going to go with it, you know? And then you get all the other movies, and you go, oh, okay, I get it. Feel it. There we go. We did it.
Amazing storytelling work. And it can be a bit slow, but I think that that's just it's almost part of it. Like you take time to really get absorbed in the locations and the scenes and everything. And I think it makes it all the better.
Yeah, it really, I had to think about what my answer was for that because yeah, it does. It's like the beginning, you know, of this brand new galaxy.
Yeah. It's quite the amazing thing. And
it is. So your third movie.
Yeah. As much as I want to say, like, Revenge of the Sith or Attack of the Clones, because I love those movies so much, I really would like to say Solo, just because I don't think it gets enough love.
Yeah, I don't think Solo does. Solo, no one really talks about, I feel
like. I think it's amazingly well-paced. I think the characters are well done, and the gambling scenes are edited too perfectly to be true. I mean, there's such amazing under from Han, like, missaying the word Sabacc, and then Lando calls him on it, and then he says Han's name incorrectly, which then becomes, it's kind of a retcon for Lando saying Han instead of later in the movies, but it's Lando acknowledging that he calls Han's bluff on that. And so many, besides just so many amazing undertones, that it's such a well-done movie, and I absolutely just love it.
I like Solo. It wasn't my favorite, but I liked how they gave a story of Han Solo, and then you have Emilia Clarke betraying this cat. I don't. What is her name?
Kira.
Kira. I love Emilia Clarke. I loved her in Game of Thrones, so she was my queen. So I had to watch it. I think just for her. So it was good to see her come to life too in Darth Maul. You know, and then she's still out there too, Kira. So you never know if they ever met up again.
Yeah, that's I think it's also it's kind of just a Star Wars adventure. Like you can watch it almost at any time, but most of the other Star Wars movies, like you have to get into it, right? Like it's you watch it and you're like, wow, that happened. It's a huge thing. But Solo's kind of can sit back and relax when you watch it. It's more of a relaxed adventure that's fun. So that's another reason why I love it. Yeah,
because we get now Han Solo's story. How did he meet Chewbacca? You know, we get that. You know, we get how he became this smuggler, you know, and stuff like that. So it was good to see.
Yeah.
So my next question to you now, because you are a Captain Rex fan, I usually ask about Ahsoka on the show because I love my little Ahsoka so much and my baby Yoda. But I'm going to ask you, in The Rise of Skywalker, now we all hear the voices, but we're not going to pay attention to those voices. We're just going to go with your gut feeling and what you think is true. Is Captain Rex alive in The Rise of Skywalker, and why?
As I'd like to say yes, I think it's just not possible. With the accelerated growth of the clones, and we see him in Episode 6 on Endor, and you see him just even older than he was in Rebels. I don't think it's possible for him to have lived 30 years past that, or 30, you know, 33, 35, whatever it is, to Rise of Skywalker, to still be there. I just don't think it's possible. As much as I'd like to say yes, the math just doesn't add up.
This doesn't add up. So I'm going to ask you another question then. Like, I don't think Captain Rex is alive, but I think Ahsoka is alive. So do you think that in these movies that we had, do you think any of the clones are not still alive, but are still being made in these movies? And we just don't know that. Because we don't know what happened to Kamino. Did we ever know what happened to Kamino? It didn't get destroyed or at all, right?
So after the Clone Wars, the Empire came to Kamino and actually shut down the cloning facilities. So it completely eradicated it. And that's why stormtroopers are recruited children from their homes, because they actually got rid of the cloning facilities.
Oh, okay. See, I knew something like that, but I didn't know if that was true.
Now, cloning is still around. It's kind of funny, cloning around. but yeah, so we know the cloning is still a thing, whether it's hints from The Mandalorian, from Dr. Pershing wearing the cloning patch, or the idea that the Sith troopers could have been clones, or the First Order. I think they allude to using some clones as well. I could be wrong on that, however, but I think that cloning's still there, but I think that the Kaminoans are as much of a player as they were.
Yeah, they weren't like behind the mastermind, those ugly beings that I wanted to squeeze their little stupid heads together. Those bastards. But do you think there's still cloning? Like, there are clones being made in the movies, but we don't know yet. We don't know if they're really a thing. Because you could say, like, I know what you're talking about with the patch in The Mandalorian, that weird guy that looks at me a lot. He's in there. He has a clone patch. So I felt like they were going to clone Baby Yoda.
Yeah, I think that's the ideal consensus. Whether it's cloning Yoda or cloning genes found in him for, you know, for sensitivity, seeing if they can just reproduce those and maybe make some type of serum to inject that into people so they can get a bunch of force users that weren't originally. But some form of cloning is probably present there.
Okay. So, because I thought so too. Don't clone my baby, motherfuckers. I'll come fuck you up. Don't play with me. Don't clone my little child. That's my baby. So my next question to you, Josh, have you seen the trailer that just came out yesterday?
Yeah. I think I didn't watch anything else for about an hour and a half straight.
So what did you think of it?
I thought it was just fantastic. It provided just enough to give hype to those who already knew that it was coming, and also those that aren't, you know, diehard Star Wars fans, they now have something to know. Oh yeah, that show's coming back. But they didn't show too much. Like, we didn't get, there are some characters that we know are there, like Moff Gideon at the end of the first season. We didn't see absolutely anything of him in that trailer.
Nothing.
And they also didn't show rumored characters. They didn't show, they showed new planets, a couple scenes, but it was just enough so that the whereabouts of what happens in the season is just rough speculation, but I think they did a fantastic job with it.
So now my next question. So we see the trailer now, right? Who is that woman? We know it's Sasha Banks, but who do you think it is?
I thought it could be Sabine, just because I kind of want to hold on to the idea of maybe seeing Sabine and Ahsoka in season two. But it's also possible that, I mean, when we saw her in the trailer, it had the voice overlay of the armor about finding and bringing Baby Yoda to them. I think it's also possible it could be some type of Jedi impersonator, or someone trying to get people to bring younglings to, and then to kidnap or kill them or something, and have a red herring like that for the Mandalorian. I think that'd be very interesting. Like, the first couple of episodes, he finds when he thinks he's a Jedi, he thinks that he's done what he needs to do, but he finds an imposter. And I think that'd be a very interesting plot thread to follow.
It would. Do you want to know what I think?
Sure. What are your theories?
Okay. So that is Sabine Wren. Sabine Wren is in The Mandalorian. Ahsoka is in The Mandalorian. Boba Fett and Bo-Katana. So I know this because my sources have checked out. And I knew Sasha Banks was playing Sabine Wren since maybe 2 months ago. And surprisingly, she just gets injured on WWE. Oh, she injured herself. Why? Because she's part of the Mandalorian, people. She's part of the Mandalorian. So when it said the sorcerers and the Jedi, who wouldn't? You're not going to put Ahsoka there. You know, you're not going to put a live-action Ahsoka into a trailer that right now we don't know if she's going to be in it or not. So you put Sabine in the shadows, lurking, because Baby Yoda and the Mandalorian do see Sabine. Do see her. Like, it's not blind. Like, they see her, and then she just disappears. So it is Sabine Wren hiding in the shadows. I'm 100% it's Sabine Wren. I'm definitely in on Sabine Wren as Sasha Banks, because it just makes sense. Like, people were saying, I was getting so mad at people's comments. She's a Sith Lord. She's under with Palpatine. She's this. She's that. Are you people insane? Like, you're not looking into it? Like, if you look at the collar, that's the same look as Sabine. If you really look at her collar. And I think someone put it like, why is she hiding? Because you wouldn't be hiding, you know, in this era of Star Wars. Because everything's really gone, you know? But I felt like you hide. You still hide. You know, you're still wanted Rebel. You're still wanted Bo-Katan. You still wanted Ahsoka Tano. That's not a Jedi, but is a Jedi. You know? So when people were saying she's a Sith Lord, she's this, she's that. No, she's Sabine Wren. She's the Rebel, and we'll find that out in The Mandalorian, of how that becomes, how they meet, and stuff like that. But I'm 100% that is Sabine Wren as Sasha Banks.
I'm hoping so, but I don't want to get my hopes too high just to have them dropped. So we'll see. We'll find out.
We will, my friend. And you'll be texting me and going, Chris, you were right, Chris. You're the God. I was like, thank you. I know. You're welcome, Josh. I know. But yeah, I felt like people were just throwing their suggestions out there. Like, it would be nice to see a Jedi. It would be so nice to see another Jedi, but I don't think she's that. You know, she looks like Sabine. You know, if you really put them comparing, they have the same color hair. You know, she didn't lift up her hood to see her hair. But if you watch WWE, she has purple hair, you know? So it's just a perfect match to be Sabine, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I do agree with that. I'd be very happy if it was Sabine, but, you know, it's still a chance. It's still a chance.
It is, but trust me, my friend. It is Sabine. Trust me, my friend. It's Sabine. Because this, I know I'm spilling all secrets right now, but this episode won't premiere till December. So Mandalorian's gonna be over. You know, so who gives two
fucks? Let's preface that this is being recorded right after the first trailer has dropped.
Yes.
So we have yet to see anything. This is confirmed. This is still speculation from before the season premiere.
Yes. So don't like get your panties in a ruckle, people. It's all right. It's okay. You know? But yeah, so I think Sasha Banks is Sabine Wren, and that's it. You know, that's my theory.
Nice.
So, Josh, before we head out, what was your favorite thing about the trailer? Because I'm going to tell you mine, because I thought this was the cutest little thing my baby has ever done. When they're at the end of the trailer, and everybody's pointing the guns at Mando, and Baby Yoda just looks up at him. And he goes, oh, fuck this, I'm hiding. Hits the button, hits his little egg, and then he goes into hiding. That's my favorite out of the trailer. Mm-hmm.
That was a very funny moment. I'll say something different. The space boat.
I mean, it
makes it feel more grounded. Like, the Mandalorian season one was so grounded. It was like the street view of the Star Wars universe. And influences and the samurai influences, and I think we're seeing a more, like, everything in season one had like an orange hue to it. Most of the planets it was in, it was very, it had that western vibe in that. But season two seems to have more blue. We see an ice planet, we see oceans, we see kind of blue ideas come through. So I think that just seeing that boat on the water, and it has the Star Wars influences, it has the engines, it has weird things poking up, it has containers, it has Quarren going about it. But just kind of the idea and keeping it, showing that it's still the Mandalorian, but it's going new places. And I'm excited to see that. So I think that shot was just so cool.
Oh, yeah. Just to see the water. I was like, who's going to drown and why am I not going to be there? Because I'll be the drowner. Like, people would just throw me in and say, Chris, fetch for yourself because I can't swim. So I'll just die instantly. I'll be like the Titanic. I'll be like, Josh, come back. Josh. Yeah. I'll be like, yeah, it's so sad. You know,
I hope you don't get thrown overboard anytime soon.
Thank you, Josh. If you see that, just put something like on my tombstone that says, greatest sexy voice to ever live on the podcast channel. That's what I want on my tombstone. That's it. That's it. But Josh, we have to end the show, man. Thank you so much for coming on.
Of course. Thank you for having me. It's been a blast.
You're so fucking welcome, man. You are so welcome. And I'm so happy that you came on. I've been stalking your page for a while. So it was just the time to ask you, you know? It was just the, come on, Chris, grow some balls and ask him, you know? But before we head out, where can everybody find you on the socials of the Meteors?
I mean, I'm pretty active on Instagram, at @clonin_around, clonin_around. I'm posting Rex content, so I have Rex photos from troops or photo shoots, and also just general Star Wars stuff. So any like projects I'm working on or just fun stuff, I try to keep it a little varied. That's where you can definitely find me.
Awesome. You guys can find me, Chris_Scavoli, at Instagram, Twitter, The Scavoli Show, Instagram, The Scavoli Show, or The Scavoli Show, whatever you just want to look up at that time. Facebook, because for you old wrinkly motherfuckers that don't know how to work a camera, The Scavoli Show or Chris Scavoli. I'm there. You'll just find me. You'll know it's me. You're listening to The Scavoli Show, the most important show. Thank you, Josh, for so much for coming on. Please ask Rex and around if they're interested in coming to talk to my white ass. Please ask them for me. That would be appreciated. Thank you guys for joining us. Be safe. Don't die of corona. Wash your balls because you don't know where your balls have dropped or been, just so y'all know. And that's it. I'll see you soon, guys. Be safe. And, you know, happy Thanksgiving because this episode won't premiere until December, bitches. So happy Thanksgiving, you motherfuckers. Eat your turkey, Christopher Columbus. And to the Indians out there, we love you. We support you. Good night, guys. We love you. Happy Christmas.